Exodus chapter 3 this morning. Exodus chapter 3. Follow with me now. We have time to get it all in, but I'm going to move fairly quickly. Exodus chapter 3. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the good music this morning. God expects His children to live on this earth in a supernatural way. Would you agree with that statement? We're not supposed to live after the old man. We're supposed to live after the new man that's created in true holiness and righteousness, if you would. We're not supposed to live as the natural man would live. We're supposed to live as the supernatural man would live. We're not supposed to walk by sight. We're supposed to walk by faith. And may I say this, God would never ask us to do that without some heavenly direction. Throughout every dispensation, throughout every generation, God has provided a way that He can give direction from heaven to those that are on the earth during that dispensation, or if you would, during that generation. Study with me just a little bit and watch just a manner of couple ways where God provides direction, and He does it now, He did it then, and He will do it after us. Look at Exodus chapter 3, look at verse 1. Now Moses, the Bible says, kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. You ought to underline that. To the mountain of God. By the way, he didn't know it was the mountain of God at that time. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Somebody says, you mean a bush just started burning? That's what the book said. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Say, how could God do that? He created the bush, and He created the fire. He can do anything He wants to do. So here's this bush burning, but the bush is not being consumed. God is going to do some supernatural things with Moses on this mountain, and He's confirming some things. And if you read carefully through the Bible, you'll see God meets with Moses on this Mount Horeb many, many times. In fact, look at verse 12. Verse 12. And he said, certainly, talking to Moses, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, watch what he says, ye, hey Moses, shall serve God upon this mountain. Hey, this very mountain you're on right now, Moses, when you go in and lead my people out of Egypt, cross over, you come out here, you're going to serve God on this very mountain we're on right now. Statement. God already has Moses getting familiar with the geographical region he's going to be in. But even more important, he's already got him, if you would, seeing something supernatural on this mountain. He's going to lead all the people to this mountain. He's getting familiar with something that God's going to do with him in the future, but it's going to be completely different, complete unique. But God is leading Moses and prepping him because he's going to lead over a million people out to this mountain. He's going to familiarize himself now. He's going to remember the bush that's burned. He's going to remember God speaking to him. It's giving him confidence for what he's doing. And he said, hey, Moses, you'll serve me later on this mountain. But you know what God doesn't say? How he would serve. What would happen? Moses has no idea that on that mountain he will receive tables of stone. He has no idea that on that mountain he'll receive the tabernacle pattern. He'll have no idea that God will speak to him, and one of these days that mountain will literally be on fire as he brings that people out there. He has no idea that. God doesn't reveal everything all at once. All he says is, you will serve me on this mountain. We will meet again here. You go get the people of Egypt, the Israelites in Egypt. You bring them out, and I'll show you what to do when you get here. Look, if you would, a little farther, and that's the way God works. Look a little farther, and notice, if you would, chapter 3 there, and look at verse 18 very carefully. Verse 18. The Bible says this. You'll go on in. You tell the Israelites to come out, and here's what we're going to do. Look at verse 18 and look right in the middle of the verse. The Bible says, the Lord God of the Hebrews, right in the middle of verse 18, met with us. And now let us go. We beseech you 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. They don't even know what they're going to do out there. All they know is they're going out to sacrifice to the Lord in some way, shape, or form. Look at chapter 5, if you would. Chapter 5, stay right with me. Moses, you're going to come back out to this Mount Horeb. It's the mountain of God. It's where the bush burned. You'll serve God, Moses, upon this mountain. Watch what happens. Look at chapter 5. Notice, if you would, verse 1. Verse 1, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that we may hold a feast unto me, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Brethren, they didn't even know what that was. They didn't know what a sacrifice, how it was going to be. They didn't understand the feast. They didn't understand what God wanted yet. All God told him was, go in and say, we've got to go 3 days' journey out into the wilderness that we may sacrifice, and then they say that we may hold a feast unto the Lord in the wilderness. Look at chapter 8, if you would. Chapter 8. One of the wonderful things walking by faith is you don't know what's next. And by the way, he doesn't reveal all the time what's next until you finish what he's already given you to do. It's kind of like this. Here's what you do. Now once you get that done, I'll show you what to do next. And when you get that done, I'll show you what to do next. And when you get out there, I might show you a couple things coming, but it's like he just continuously reveals little by little what he wants us to do, how he wants us to do it. But look up here. Some of it will be familiar. Some of it he's been prepping us for a long time. And we didn't even know it. When that bush burned, he was prepping Moses for the future. When they met up there, he was prepping Moses for the future. He was familiarizing himself, if you would, with the mountain, with what was going to happen, but it wasn't going to be exactly the same. But a lot of things God preps us for, he uses in the future somewhere, and we didn't even know he was prepping us. Look, if you would, at Exodus chapter 8, and notice verse 27. Watch it very carefully, Exodus 8, 27. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, don't miss the next little phrase, as he shall, future, command us. You know what he's saying? We're going to sacrifice to the Lord. He said earlier, we're going to hold a feast. As he shall command us, meaning, I don't know how we're going to do that. I've not been told yet. I don't understand. He's going to command us when we get there how to do what he wants us to do at that present time. All I know is he met with me on the mountain. He said, go into Egypt. He said, bring them back out to this mountain. And then he said, he'll show me what to do when I get back out there. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen in their life, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now. Be careful, you'll miss what he has for you now. Be careful, he'll miss what he has for you next. And understand God, he doesn't open it up and reveal it to us until, if you would, we finish what we're supposed to do now and we say, hey, I know he wants me to do this. I know he wants me to do this. I know he wants me to take care of this. I know he wants me to take care of that. And he waits for us to take care of all that to reveal the next thing to us. Anybody ever go orienteering? Do you know what that is? Anybody ever go on one of those map and compass routines where you're running through the woods? Here's the way it works. They give you your first set of instructions. You have no idea what's going to happen after that. And you're going to go to 9 or 10 points, and at each one of those points, it's going to tell you what to do next. So you take off with your compass running through over hill and dale and everything, and you find that first box. And by the way, it's a wonderful thing when you find the box. And you open up the box, and there's your next set of instructions. And it says, do this, do this, do this, go 4 miles that way, 3 miles this way, this compass direction, everything, and you'll see the next box. By the way, you never get to the end of the journey until you find all the boxes. And if you try to shortcut a box, you'll get all messed up. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I've seen guys out there trying to shortcut boxes. I've seen them try to, hey, and they'll get all confused about what they're doing out there, and they'll never make it to the end. They'll never make it to the finish line. You've got to go step by step by step. Somebody says, well, I want to know where we're going. You don't find out where you're going until you take care of the journey that you're in right now, until you take care of the segment of the journey you're in, and that's the way God works it. Hey, God didn't say, now, Moses, here's what's going to happen. You're going to go in, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, I'm going to harden his heart, but you don't know what that means. Then you're going to do the Passover. He says, the what over? He doesn't know what a Passover is. It's not implemented yet. We're going to do what? We're going to kill a lamb and put the blood where? He didn't tell him all that. You're going to not go up the way you thought you should go. You're going to head for the Red Sea. And I'm going to let the Egyptian army chase you. And then at the appropriate time, we're going to part the Red Sea. You're going to what? Huh? You're going to part the Red Sea. Well, how are you going to part the Red Sea? I don't understand this. Well, tell me how you're going to do it. See, he would be so worried about how they're going to part the Red Sea, he'd miss what's now. And then when you get on the other side of the Red Sea, you're going to have one day of singing, and then these Israelites are going to come at you. What are they going to come at me about? Well, you see, I'm going to feed them a certain way that's kind of special. Every day, I'm going to drop food down from heaven. You're going to what? How are you going to do that? Let me ask you about that. You see, he would get all confused with all that. And then you're going to come back to this mountain, and I'm just going to make this whole thing burn up, and then I'm going to tell you what to do, and you're going to come up and fast for 40 days and 40 nights without food or drink. I'm going to do what? Wait a minute, let's stop there for a moment. How in the world am I supposed to live 40 days without food or water? That's in the book. You know what? I don't want to look at now what this Pharaoh thing. I want to talk to you about that 40 days without food and water. That's got me a little concerned. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? He would so be so consumed with that, he would miss the miracle of today. That's what he says. Hey, we're going out. We're going to sacrifice as God shall, as he shall command us. I don't know how yet. I don't have that all figured out yet. He's not showing me that yet. I'm only concerned with what I do know. When I get to the next part, he'll show me what to do there. If he showed me now, I'd be all confused with what I'm supposed to be doing now. What is it about that 40 days, no food, no water thing? And then you're going to go back down, and then you're going to find two golden calves. Then you're going to break the first commandments, and I'm going to do what? Moses, I'm not going to tell you all that. Here's what you do. Go in and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Okay, I got that. What was I supposed to say again? Let my people go. Okay, let my people go. Let my people go. I'll practice that. Amen? It's better that way. Look, if you went a little further. Notice, if you would, chapter 13, Exodus 13. Horeb. Don't forget that. Horeb. Exodus 13. Now watch, Exodus 13. In Exodus 13, how are they going to be guided? How are they going to be directed? How are they going to know where to go? Exodus 13, look at verse 21. Verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. Pillar, like a long streaming up into the air, pillar of cloud. To them that, to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire. A long, if you would, pillar, a pillar of fire. To give them light to go by day and night. You mean he could take them anywhere they wanted to go in the daytime and anywhere they wanted to go in the night? Verse 22. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. That's how he's going to lead them. They don't know where they're supposed to go. All they're going to do is follow the pillar of fire at night or follow the pillar of cloud in the day. It's going to be light. And if you remember what happened when he needed it, that pillar of fire by night moved back around behind them. It was protection from, if you would, the Egyptian army. And, if you would, provided a way so they could see how to cross the Red Sea at night. It lit up everything back here, but it was complete darkness behind them. And God used it, if you would, for protection, for a way of guidance. It was God's way of guiding them during that dispensation, during that period of time, during that generation. It was heavenly. It was supernatural. Every generation, every dispensation has a supernatural way that God communicates to them how they will be led in their life. Look at Numbers chapter 9. Everybody still all right? Talk to me. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. Watch the time here. Numbers chapter 9. Now watch carefully. Little reiteration of this pillar of cloud or in the pillar of fire. Numbers chapter 9. Remember, how are we going to get to Horeb? What direction are we going to take? All I know is we're going out there. He's going to lead them step by step along the way, sometimes day by day. Look at Numbers chapter 9 and notice verse 16. Verse 16. So it was always. The cloud covered by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. It was simple. When the cloud stopped, they broke out the tents, set them up, and stayed there. Set up the tabernacle in the middle, set up all the camp around the tabernacle, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire would stay on the tabernacle all day long and all night. Bible says, verse 18, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. The Bible says this, if you read 19 and 20, they knew when to journey, and they knew when to journey not. When it was not time to journey, they set up the tabernacle, and they took care and charge of the Lord, all the sacrifices and everything, all the incense, all the praise, all the typology, if you would. And notice what he says in verse 22. Verse 22, or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. Brethren, the New Testament says we're not supposed to take a whole lot of thought on the morrow. We don't know what's going to quite happen next. If we're bought with the price, paid for, and we are being led in our generation, we don't know, hey, 2 days, a month, a year, let's just see how long the cloud stays. Let's see what God wants. Let's see where we're supposed to be. Let's see what we're supposed to do. And God will show us whether we journey or whether we don't journey. Now, look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Stay right with me. You're doing well. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Everybody still all right? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Remember, he said to Moses, you're going to come back to the Mount of God. You're going to go into Egypt. You're going to lead the people of Israel out, and you'll be back here to this mount. It's also called, if you would, and you read carefully, Sinai, but Mount Horeb, in the Mount of God, if you would. And we're going to, if you would, come back out here, and this is going to be a place where you will serve me. Look, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Watch very carefully. Watch very carefully. Now remember, how were they led out there? That pillar of fire and that pillar of cloud. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Notice verse 10. Verse number 10. Especially. Now you can take a running start, but for time I need to go here. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in where? Say it. Horeb. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. Where are they at? They're in Horeb. And they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near. Deuteronomy reiterates what happened. He said, you remember when you came to Horeb? Remember when the Lord thy God showed up in Horeb? Verse 11. And ye came near and stood upon the mountain, or under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only ye heard a voice, and he declared unto you a covenant. It was right there at that mount of God spoken about in Exodus. It was right there where that bush burned and wasn't consumed. It was right there that God said now to all Israel, here's the covenant. Here's the agreement. And the Bible says, in Horeb he commanded you to perform even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgment, that you might do them in the land, whether you go over to possess it. We're going to learn now what we're going to do in the land that we're going. Take you therefore, verse 15, good heed unto yourself, for ye saw no manner of similitude on that day that the Lord spake unto you in where? Say it, Horeb, out of the midst of the fire. Brethren, they were right where God said they were going to be. They were right at the place where God met with him. He was in his last 40 years of his life. They were the best 40 years of his life. He was going to do the most in his last 40 years of his life. And God was going to lead and God was going to direct. But God only showed him a little bit of a time what was supposed to happen next. But this place, Horeb, he was led there by this pillar of cloud. And it was right there that God began to deal with Israel about so many different things. Look, if you would, at chapter 5. Stay with me. Chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Everybody still all right? Doing okay? Deuteronomy chapter 5. And by the way, I hope you understand, brethren, I want to give you enough Bible that you go away and say, man, I want to study that more. Good. Wonderful. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Notice, if you would, in verse 1, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. The Lord our God made a, what? Say it. Covenant with us. We're at? In Horeb. Now again, you've heard Sinai and Mount Sinai. And by the way, you study it out. You'll be fine with it all. There's no confusion or anything like that. But I just wanted you to note, he mentioned Mount Horeb, if you would, there in the book of Exodus. He said, you'll come out, you'll serve me in the Mount of God. It was on Horeb, if you would, that he got the Ten Commandments. It was on Horeb where they built those two golden calves, according to Deuteronomy chapter 9. And they came down, and Moses had to do many things. Statement. It was there on Horeb that God explained some truth to them and what he expected. They were led there by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. They were led right where God wanted them to be. And right there on that mountain, Moses would go up, receive things, and come down and explain it to the congregation. It was there that a covenant, an agreement, was made. Statement. It was there that the Old Testament law was given. It was there that truth was explained to them. It was there. He didn't leave them without understanding the truth that came out of heaven for their generation at their period of time with what they were supposed to do. Commands which were given, philosophy of how they would act, how they would treat each other, how they would consider others that were outside of their camp. It was all given, what they would do, how they should treat this, how they should treat social things, how they should govern themselves, what kind of community they should have, how they should treat leaders, how they should treat husbands, how they should treat wives. He gave it all to them. Is that right? He gave it all. A philosophy of life was given by God to those Israelites that came out. Would you agree with that? Now, we still have direction today in the New Testament for a philosophy of life. We get our direction straight from heaven. Look at John, the book of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16. You say, you know, if I had a pillar to follow, that would make things simple. I'd just follow the pillar. Wherever it stopped, I'd pitch camp. When it moved again, I'd follow it. Look at John 16. Look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the who, Spirit, capital S, of what? Truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Hey, apostles, you've read the Old Testament. I'm telling you that when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. If you read there carefully, he'll tell you things to come. He'll glorify me. You can read different things. He says in verse 26 of the previous chapter, he'll testify of me. He'll teach you about me. The Spirit will teach you about what I've said. The Spirit will reveal things to you about what I've talked about. The Spirit will reveal things to you about the Old Testament. The Spirit will guide you. The Spirit will reprove you. The Spirit will direct you. The Spirit will give you a philosophy. The Spirit will tell you where to go and what to do. You follow the Spirit that I will give you. In the Old Testament, Moses had a pillar of fire. Moses had a pillar of cloud. Moses had God, if you would, communicating to him. In the New Testament, we have our guide. We have our pillar. We have our, instruction that comes direct from God because the Holy Spirit is God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. Would you agree with that? The Old Testament calls them the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, 1 John. They are one. And they agree. Always. Jesus is God. The Father is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. They're all God. Would you agree with that? They all, in different ways and shapes and forms, if you would, throughout different places in the Bible and throughout different generations and dispensations, have their place and have their part. The one now who guides and directs us in the New Testament is the Holy Spirit. He only does what Jesus tells him to do. Jesus tells the Spirit tells us. You can see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Don't turn there. The Bible says that Jesus commanded through the Spirit his apostles. And today, we have a guide. We have a, if you would, someone to provide direction, someone to provide understanding. Let me read this to you, and you just listen very carefully. Don't turn there. It's in 1 Corinthians 2. Listen carefully. Listen. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He said, hey, listen, your eye may not be able to see it. Your ear may not quite be able to hear it, and your heart may not be able to understand it, but the Spirit will tell your eye what it sees, the Spirit will tell your ear what it hears, and the Spirit will prepare your heart so it can understand what God hath prepared for you. Why? Because the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, and it's the Spirit of God that reveals to us and gives us understanding as into our life in the New Testament, what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to go, how we're supposed to do it, how long we're supposed to stay, and he fits it all together. Are we still all right with that? I need to do this now. It's very important. I've done this in our church before, but it's so important, this message, that we do this. Look at John 20 and Luke 24. Stay right with me. It's preparatory to something. John 20. You're doing well in Luke 24. John 20 and Luke 24. In John 20, Jesus had talked about the Holy Spirit many times over. It is expedient for you, he said, that I go away, and I'll send the Comforter, capital C, to you. Notice on the first day of the week, when they were all, if you would, assembled for fear of the Jews, in verse 19, John chapter 20, verse 19, he shows up in the midst of them. He says to them, peace be unto you. And then he gives them the one that will guide them and direct them. Verse 22. John 20, 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the who? Say it. Holy Ghost. There's your guide. There's your director. There's your comforter. There's the one that will teach you. There's the one. He's in you now. He was with you, apostles, and now he's in you. I can now give you him because I'm glorified, and you now have him in you. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Look at Luke 24. Stay with me. Luke 24. Say, brother, are you a Bible-believing, independent, fundamental Baptist? I sure am. But I sure believe in the Holy Spirit. Luke 24. Luke 24, same context, first day of the week, first time he shows up to the 12 that are gathered together after his resurrection, verse 36, he stands in the midst of them and says, peace be unto you. Now, watch if you would, verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, past tense. Remember what I've been telling you about what's in the law and the prophets while I was yet with you? That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then, open he their, what? Say it. Understanding. Their understanding was not yet open. How did he open their understanding? He breathed on them, and the Holy Ghost came into them. And when the Holy Ghost came into them, he opened their understanding, because when the Holy Ghost comes in, he opens up our minds so we can see by faith, so we can hear by faith, so we can understand by faith. The Bible says, then open he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Brethren, the author of the book now came in them. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's called the sword of the Spirit. And now the Word of God, written by the Holy Spirit of God, comes into them, and the author begins to explain to them what's going on. Do they get it? Do they understand it? Look at Acts chapter 1. Stay with me. You're doing well. Watch this little phrase. Do they understand? They certainly do. Look at Acts chapter 1. Now watch what Peter says, and notice the way he puts it. Acts chapter 1. Verse 16, men and brethren. Acts 1, verse 16. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled. Watch how he says it. Don't miss it. Which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. Stop right there. Hey, guys, men and brethren, this scripture has to be fulfilled. Which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. The Holy Ghost spake through David. Is that right? David wrote it down in his Psalms, but the Holy Ghost told him what to write. It was the Holy Ghost speaking. Way back then, in the mouth of David, and David mouthed it, and the words came out, but it was the Holy Ghost, if you would, that was the author. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What's so significant about that is Peter understands who's in control. Peter understands that it is the Holy Ghost of God through David that's speaking concerning what they should do now with Judas. That don't even go into what was going on. Just see that Peter understands who's in charge. Do you understand who's in charge? Do you know who's in charge? You say, Jesus is in charge. That's right. Jesus is in charge. But he sent someone to implement his commands. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Until the day in which he, Jesus, was taken up, after that he, Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles. Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, gave apostles commandments. He told them what to do, where to go, what to do when they got there, and only, if you would, one step at a time did the Holy Ghost reveal them what they should do next. He's our guide. He's our director. He gives us truth. Do you know him? Do you know him? Now, if you go out of here thinking that we are off doctrinally, you need to study your book. Somebody has sold you a bill of goods. Somebody has led you wrong. The Holy Ghost is as much involved in our lives today as he was with the apostles' life in the book of Acts. He is much as a pillar was to Moses, he is to us. As much as that fire went up and guided and directed them, he is to us. I'll show you. If you don't get to know who the Holy Spirit is, you'll miss something. And don't be scared off by all this false doctrine out there. Don't be scared off by all these people who talk about the Spirit in some strange, weird way. Well, you know, brother, let me ask you something. Now, I've heard people, you know, say they got the Holy Spirit and they fall on the ground and shake and froth and you know, cluck like a chicken and all the rest of that stuff. Satan always imitates God. I'll be preaching on that before long. Satan always imitates God and mocks him. He mocks him with miracles. He mocks him trying to duplicate. He will set himself up one day in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, and try to imitate God, and it's a mockery. And he'll try to imitate the Holy Ghost. Some of you are quiet. You know why? You're very uncomfortable talking about this subject. You say, but I want to see it in the New Testament. Read Romans 8 sometime and see how much the Holy Spirit's mentioned. Come on now. See, if you don't know him, you're uncomfortable talking about him. But if you know him, he wrote this book and he wrote of himself again and again and again. But I'm not lifting him above Jesus. Jesus is the head. But he had the fullness of the Godhead. He had the Spirit without measure. You can't separate the two. Are you listening to me still? And somebody can say, oh, you're all doctrinally incorrect. I'm going to tell you something right now. Those people will miss something in their life thinking we're wrong, thinking we don't know. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning. I don't mind being judged by people doctrinally anymore because I know who he is. I know how he works. I'm as secure with this. All I have to do is learn how to discern the spirits, because there's many. Now, did Peter get it? He said, yeah. The Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David. It was the Holy Ghost speaking back there. It was for us at this period of time. And now we need to fulfill what the Holy Ghost spake through David. Peter got it. You know why? Peter was going to be led by the Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 9. Stay with me now. Isn't it interesting how quiet it can get? Acts, the book of Acts. I'm going to leave off Acts 9. I think I'd rather go to Acts 10. Is that the one? Oh, the Holy Spirit's in Acts chapter 9 too, but let's go to 10. Verse 19. Peter, Acts 10:19. While Peter thought on the vision, the who? Spirit said unto him. Wait a minute. You mean the Spirit talks to him? Absolutely. Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Who sent them? The Spirit sent them. Let's look at it again. While Peter thought on these visions, the Spirit said, who's talking? The Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is. Three men are come down for you. Arise, go down with them. Don't even doubt. Peter, I want you to know something. I sent them. He reiterates it again. Look at chapter 11. Chapter 11. What's going to happen here is Peter is going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. That's not something Peter ever thought he would do. But Peter is going to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and it's such a significant event that something significant has to take place, if you would, to confirm it all. Look at Acts chapter 11. Notice verse 12. And the Spirit bade me go with them. He's rehearsing the matter. Nothing doubting. Who told him to go? The Holy Spirit did. Moreover, these six brethren accompanying me, and we entered into the house. And then it goes on down to say what happened, but the Spirit is controlling what's going on. Statement. Is the Spirit controlling what you're doing? Well, you say, I think he is. There comes a point in time where you need to go a little bit farther than I think he is. It would be better to have the understanding to say, oh yeah, I know he spoke to me about this night. Some of you are going, amen. See, some of you, the Holy Spirit's bearing witness to you. And some of you are going, I'm not sure about this. It's a little spooky. The Lord doesn't make it spooky. The brethren do. Those without the camp, those who call themselves brothers who aren't brothers, they make it weird. They make it spooky. The Bible clarifies. I say to you that Peter said, David spake, the Holy Spirit told him what to speak. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was inside of him now, teaching him. telling him, confirming to him. Hey, brother, when Peter had a doctrinal problem in the church, you know who he went to for clarification? He went to the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts chapter 15 real quick. Acts chapter 15. You read sometime verse 1 and you'll see there's a doctrinal controversy going on within the church. Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Do you know how it's solved? Look at verse 28. Verse 28. Leadership stands up and says, verse 28, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Here's the controversial doctrine all cleared up. Here's the answer. "That ye abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well." That's the end of the matter. Conflict, doctrinal conflict resolved. Notice what he said in verse 28. "It seemed good to the Holy Ghost." They went back and asked the Holy Spirit, "What's the answer?" Cleared it all up. You know what the wonderful thing is we have? They were writing the book. We now have the book written. Now all we have to do is read it, study it, and let the Holy Spirit reveal the meaning of it. We don't have to write the book. It is written. It's done. Anybody adding right now, I wouldn't believe them. It's finished. It's done. It's complete. It's sealed. We got the book. Is that right? All we do now is read it and let the Holy Ghost, who wrote it, reveal it to us. That'll solve some things. Who's telling people what to do and where to go and how to go there? Who sent out the first missionaries? The Holy Spirit did. Who told them where to go and what to do? The Holy Spirit did. I want to make a statement to you, a little personal. I'll read you this scripture, and I want you to listen very carefully. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you know what that's saying? It says that the sons of God, the children of God, ought to be led by the Spirit of God. Then shouldn't we know how to be led by Him? Do you know Him? Do you know how He works with you? Go back to Exodus 23. Still doing okay? Say, I don't know. I can't wait to get out of there. I'm getting the heebie-jeebies. Stay with me. Almost done. Exodus 23. Now, don't miss it. This scripture and one other one. We're done. Exodus 23 for now. Exodus 23. Let's go back now to Moses. Think with me. Mount Horeb. Bush burning, not consumed. Mountain of God. Go in, bring out the Israelites, bring them back to this mountain. I'll show you what to do. You'll serve me here. I'll meet with you. I'll instruct you. I'll guide you. I'll have you teach them. And they receive the Old Testament law. Brethren, we Christians, New Testament, not the blood of goats, the blood of Christ. Not tables of stone, fleshly tables of the heart. Not a law and a letter that killeth, but a law that giveth life. We have a New Testament law. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Yes or no? Do we have commandments? Yes, two. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? And thou shalt love thy neighbor as? Brethren, we Christians, New Testament, not the blood of goats, the blood of Christ. Not tables of stone, fleshly tables of the heart. Not a law and a letter that killeth, but a law that giveth life. We have a New Testament law. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Yes or no? Do we have commandments? Yes, two. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? And thou shalt love thy neighbor as? And all the law is contained in them. It's the law of liberty. Liberty mean to do what you want? No! Liberty from the dominion of sin. Liberty from the domination of sin. The Spirit of God sets us free and borns within us a new man that's not wanting to serve sin. It's the blood of Christ that frees us. We're under a new testament, a new agreement. Yes or no? But there's so many similarities. God is consistent. I understand dispensational changes. Look, if you would, at Exodus 23. Watch now. In Moses' day, verse 20. Behold, I send an who? Is there a capital A on your angel? There is on mine. You say, I didn't get that. There ought to be a capital A on the angel in your Bible. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee unto the place which I have prepared. Guide, director, protector. Verse 21, beware of him. Obey his voice. Provoke him not. For he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Oh, you ought to study verse 21. Don't grieve him. Jesus said, don't speak against the Holy Ghost. Everything will be forgiven you. But you be careful what you say about the Holy Spirit. What was he talking about? When the Pharisees said about Jesus, thou hast a devil. He said, y'all better be careful. You better not talk about the Holy Ghost that way. Now you say, do you think that capital A angel is significant? Somebody from heaven, A, speaks of, if you would, a person, capital A. A person, what do you mean like a person? Like a specific entity. You say, do you think that angel, capital A, is Jesus? Do you think that capital A angel is the Holy Ghost? Do you think that capital A angel is the Father? That capital A angel came straight from God. But do you notice the similarities? Verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak. Wait a minute. You know who's saying that there? The Lord is saying that. And do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies, an adversary unto thine adversaries. Verse 28, or verse 23. For mine, capital A, angel, shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. You know what he said that capital A angel will do? He'll keep you. He'll bring you out. He'll bring you in. He'll guide you. He'll direct you, and you better be careful. You better obey him. And you better not speak against him. All right. You know what I'm hoping you'll do? Go study. I hope all that you study, the book, is not contained in 1 hour on Sunday morning. If that's all you study, you're missing it. You'll miss him. You'll miss his guidance. you'll miss his will. All this is to provoke you. Now, go study. Go find out for yourself. You've got 168 hours during the week that you're awake, basically, and a little bit more. This is just 1 hour of the 175 or 180 hours you are awake a week. This shouldn't be, I got my spirituality for the week. Come now. If this is all we're studying during the week, we're not going to find what God has for us. That's why we provide different places and points and times where you can study the Bible with us. Monday night, Tuesday night, Sunday afternoon, you name it. Thursday night. Well, wait a minute, now, preacher, how would I know the Spirit? Look at 1 Samuel 3. I'll leave you with this as a thought. Watch now. Different characteristics, different little things. And by the way, you're saying the Spirit is telling me you're done. He's telling me I'm done too. We're on the same page. Watch 1 Samuel 3. Don't miss it now. Little signatures of the Holy Spirit. Little signatures how he works. And by the way, the Spirit of God is in the Old Testament. He gave Saul another heart. Turned him into another man. They prophesied. The Spirit of God came on the prophets at different times. Haggai and Zechariah. And said, what's the work? And Ezra ceased. That Spirit said to Haggai and Zechariah, stand up and prophesy and proclaim and tell them to keep on going. He used the prophets. Just like he uses preaching today. Look at 1 Samuel 3. Oh, by the way, if you become a preacher, you can't use everybody else's messages. You may get a thought. You may get a concept. But if you're a preacher, you're supposed to be the messenger of God with the message of God. Which means you got to go up to the mountain and get it. And bring it back down again. If I die at 1 o'clock today, this is the right message for this hour. Maybe I didn't get it all proclaimed just right, and maybe I didn't explain it just right, but this was the message for this church for this hour. You say, that sounds a little cocky. No, there's a difference between cocky, proud, and confident. There's a big difference. You say, how do you know? God met with me early this morning and confirmed it. Look at this. Watch. 1 Samuel 3, verse 4. The Lord called Samuel. And he answered him. He runs to Eli. Eli says, go lay down. Verse 6. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. Samuel got up, went to Eli. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lay down. Go back to sleep. And the Lord, verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. I'm glad God doesn't stop calling. What if I miss it? He'll call again. And he arose, went to Eli. Finally, Eli perceives the Lord called the child. He said, go lie down. See, they're sleeping. Go lie down. And if he speaks again, say, speak, Lord. Thy servant, here, Satan, you study it out. God often wakes people out of their normal sleep to speak with him. Peter's in a prison, sleeping. Angel wakes him up. Get up. I'm not being a dream. It's got to be a dream. Get up. Chains fell off. Get up. Let's go. Put your clothes on. Got to get out of here. People praying for you. I got to take you over there. You study it. It's in times, especially with sleep, that he'll wake you in an unnatural way. You're looking at me like I'm spooky. You say, what happened? You wake up and you are awake. Like, I was asleep, now I'm awake. And it is unnatural for me to be awake at this hour. Why am I awake? And something crosses your mind. and it crosses it again. And it crosses it again. Now, discern the spirits. Be careful. What is thoughts that cross your mind, better agree with the Word of God. Because if it doesn't agree with the Word of God, that's not the Holy Ghost that wrote this. But once you get to know Him, He'll wake you up unusually so, from time to time, for big things. But don't do it just off that one time being awake. Watch. Watch for little things that nobody knows about. Watch for little circumstantial things that don't make any sense to anybody else. Don't manufacture them. Just be observant. We would say, have your antennas up. I know that's a terrible thing to say. Walk circumspect is probably a better way to say it. Watch, look, observe, see what happens. Watch little things along the way. Don't be surprised if He wakes you up again supernaturally, unusually, and puts it across your brain again. If all you do is roll over, He'll wake you up again. If you say, well, I don't understand who He is, neither did Samuel. But he worked with Him. Be careful about manufacturing. Be careful about going to the brethren and say, well, you know what, that guy said that, so that must be it. Be careful. You can get confused. Well, how does it work, preacher? You may get a thought that crosses your brain. And then maybe you'll be reading your Bible and it'll go, wah, 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 wah. You say, what's the wah, 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 wah stuff? Like, whoa, I don't believe it. Man, He's talking to me right there. That may not mean anything to anybody else. By the way, I just flipped open my Bible to Amos 7. It just fell open. I underlined something in there this morning. Wasn't for me. You'll be in prayer, and then it will just overshadow you. You'll be at a silent, private time, and the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you. Oftentimes, for me, I'll have my eyes closed on the airplane for an hour at a time, and He'll speak. Quietly, privately. You walk out of here and judge me and say, that pastor doesn't. You be careful. Look around. See what happens. See what has happened in our church over the years. Look around. Watch it. We don't have a corner market on the Holy Spirit. He's available to everybody. If you're saved, He's in you. If you're not saved, He's not yet in you. If He's not yet in you, get saved. Get some direction in your life. He has a plan for you that's supernatural. There's a Mount Horeb for you somewhere that He wants to speak to you and show you some things. Supernatural things will happen there. You'll know when you're there. Statement. There's an unusual sight. A bush burning but not being consumed. And now a voice comes and says, take your shoes off. Okay, something unusual is happening here. Go in, get my people, bring them out here. I'll send a pillar of cloud to lead you which way you'll go. We'll bring them out supernaturally. Once you get back here, watch some supernatural things happen. See you later. Be waiting. When Moses got back to that mount, it wasn't surprising to him that the thing was on fire. He just walked right up into it. He was comfortable with it. Everybody else goes, whoa. Something about that guy. He just walked right up to that Father. He had been up there before. He had been around God before. He wasn't scared about that. The voice didn't shake him. Because the earth was shaking, that didn't bother him. Because everybody was trembling, he said, I'll be back. Stay down here. Walked on up. How's God directing your family? Are you the head of the household? Shouldn't God be willing and able to tell you what your household should do? Shouldn't you, as the head of the household, be listening to the Spirit to tell what you should do with your household? He won't tell me what to do with your household. He'll tell you what to do with your household. Now, as the pastor of the church, shouldn't he from time to time tell me what to do with the church? We all right? Why would he give me this office and not from time to time speak to me about what our church should be doing? But there's more required of me. He'll speak to you about your life. He'll speak to you about your marriage. He'll speak to you about your family. He'll speak to you about your ministry. And he'll speak to you about your place in this church or wherever that might be in business. And if you're supposed to be a part of this church in some way, shape, or form, he'll speak to you about it. When? When he's good and willing in his time. And that's why I wait. What are you doing, preacher? Waiting. Waiting for what? To find out what I'm supposed to be doing next. To find out what we're supposed to be doing next. Why don't you just do it? I'm waiting. I'm watching. I mean, you don't go to bed tonight and say, wake me up, Lord, we got to get this done. Doesn't work that way. Say, how do you do it? Good night, dear. Good night, Lord. Thank you for a wonderful day. I mean, that's it? That's it? But when you wake up, unusually so, you get up. You get in your book, or you get in your private time, and you start taking notes. Wait a minute. Then you implement. You do something with it. With our heads bowed. Do something with it this morning, saint of God. Do something with it this morning, husband and wife. Do something with it this morning, sir. Do something with it this morning, man. You say, what should I do? Holy Spirit, I want to know you. I'm saved. I know you're in me. I want to know you. I want to follow you. I want you to guide me and direct me. I want you to lead me. I want to know you. I've asked for your power. And I need your power. I've asked for the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. I've asked for your attributes. But I need to know you. I've read your Bible. But sometimes I've not gone to you to ask you what it means. I've not questioned some of the things I've been taught. And I need to go to you and say, teach me. That I understand. That it's not just what someone else taught me, but it's that truly I understand what it says. Oh, others can teach you. But don't just mimic what they say. Understand it or question it so you do understand it. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I know I'm 10 minutes late. Don't leave. Pastor, I would love the assurity to know I'm saved. You see, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and you cry, Abba, Father. I'll say it again. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and you cry, Abba, Father. Who allows you to cry that? The Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is the one that convinces you that you're a child of God, gives you assurance. Listen to what I'm saying. Oh, I don't know how to pray. It's the Holy Spirit that will teach you how to pray. You see, there's so many things. By the way, it's the Holy Spirit that quickens, makes us alive, gives birth to the new nature. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. Why? Because Jesus gave him all that. And they're one. If you've never received Christ as Savior, here's basically what that means. The Holy Spirit convicts you that you broke God's rules called the law, the Old Testament law. Once you agree and accept and acknowledge that you broke His rules, there's remorse. There's sorrow. There's conviction. You ask Jesus to forgive you. Through His blood that was shed, He forgives you and gives assurance by sealing you with the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you cry, Abba, Father, and a new nature is given birth within you that now can understand spiritual things, because the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. The supernatural new creation within you does. And then you get to know the Holy Spirit and begins to guide and direct your life. Maybe He leaves you in the same profession. Maybe He changes your direction. Maybe He leaves you where you're at, what you're doing, but changes what you're doing there a little bit. There will be a little change. Your mindset will change. The way you do that business you have been doing will change. All kinds of things will begin to happen in a wonderful way. If you've never yet received Christ as Savior, we could show you how. You say, how will I know that I'm that candidate for that? There'll be something inside of you tugging on your heart. You'll feel convicted. You'll feel confused. You'll feel like somebody's knocking. Something's going on here. Something supernatural. Something non-coincidental has been happening. That'll show you from the Bible, and we could show you some scriptures and help you to understand. Like when the Spirit said to Philip, go join yourself to that Ethiopian businessman. We can show you, just like Philip did to that Ethiopian businessman. The Spirit will help. The Spirit will guide. The Spirit will direct. If you're in here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you say, at least pray for me. If that's you with your head bowed and eyes closed, slip up your hand right now and say, pray for me. Yes, pray for me. I'd like to know that. I'd like to understand. I'd like to be guided and directed. Christian. Holy Spirit, I want to know you. I want to know you. If you raise your hand for salvation, let us help you. In just a moment, the instruments plays, come down. Just come down to the front. Somebody, if you're a man, a woman, if you're a woman, we'll take you and we'll take you privately and show you some scriptures and help you. No obligation, no strings. Christian, I beg of you, get to know the pillar of fire. Get to know the pillar of cloud. Get to know the guide, the director. Get to know the one who's in control. Get to know the one Jesus sent as comforter. Get to know Him. He's guiding us in the New Testament. Get to know Him. Jesus tells Him. He tells us. Get to know Him. Get to know Him. They're one and the same. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're one and the same. Let the instruments play. Thanks for staying a little longer. Sorry for taking a little extra time this morning. We'll dismiss in just a moment. Take your time. Take your time. Here am I, Lord. Eli, did you call me? Go lay down. It wasn't me. Eli, I'm sure you called me. No, just go lie down. Eli, what did you want? Samuel, go back and lie down again. And if you hear your name called again, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Well, the Lord did call again. And the Lord did speak to Samuel. And you know what happened? Eli said, Samuel, come here. What did he tell you? And Samuel didn't want to say. Because Samuel was shown how he would somewhat take the place of Eli because of Eli's shortcomings. What did he say? What did the Lord tell you, Samuel? And finally, Samuel spoke, and Eli said, yep, that's the Lord. Good is the word of the Lord. That's the Lord. That's what's going to happen. That's it. And Samuel did become a prophet. And God did speak through Samuel to Israel. You see, God uses different methods in different times. He uses a pillar of cloud, a mount burning. Then he used prophets, preachers. You go into Jeremiah and Isaiah, he uses the prophets as illustrations. Jeremiah, I want you to go do this, and you're an illustration of what's going to happen to Israel. In the New Testament, he uses the Word of God. He uses preaching. He uses daily devotions. But I'll guarantee you, he's still waking people up. He's still talking to him in unusual times during the day. He's still guiding and controlling. He's still doing supernatural things if we'll get to know him. You might be close to Horeb right now. Your Horeb. Again, my apologies for keeping you a little long today. Father, as people study and pray and think, I know some may be a little confused, but please, Lord God Almighty, help them work through their confusion with you. Thou knowest I've been there so many times. And still, once in a while, Lord, you know I get a little confused as to what it is you're saying, and I wait. And I know many here are just getting to know you better. I pray our church would know who the Holy Ghost is. And the Holy Ghost would lift up Jesus Christ in their heart and glorify him and testify of him. And then our pillar of fire, our cloud, our capital A angel, you, God, would guide us and direct us through thy Spirit. Bless us now. Show individuals what to do. Show families what to do. Show ministries what to do. Show businesses what to do. Show our church what to do. We believe you'll do all of that. Please, this extra 10, 15 minutes, may it be worthwhile in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, you come. Thanks again for staying a little bit longer. Sorry for that. I apologize 3 times.